It is time for sports, and let's see if we can get this done right here.
Boyfriend by the name of Joe said,
to Coney Isle, dear, we'll go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout,
and to him I heard her shout,
hey, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack, I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
That's a Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. Take me out to the ball game. And we were at the ball games yesterday. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to hear Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly sing that. Did you watch any of the games yesterday?
No.
No, none of them?
Nope. I had practice. I don't watch anything.
How'd the practice go? It was a little chilly yesterday, wasn't it?
It went well. It was good.
Now, do you practice indoors when it's cold, or do you still go outdoors?
No, we were outside.
Okay, yeah. Up here, sometimes when it gets a little chilly, they'll go indoors.
Well, we kind of did both. We went to the batting cage inside the bubble, and we practiced other stuff outside.
What I found out as a broadcaster of broadcasting high school sports, Mike, that when you broadcast spring baseball, it is colder than broadcasting the beginning of the football season.
Well, it's different this year because we usually start March 1st.
Yeah.
But we're not this year. We started April 1st.
So about a month later then, yeah. All right.
So it's a lot better.
Yeah.
Even though it was cold yesterday, it's not like it's March.
No. All right. Well, anyway, so baseball is back.
Do you know why the Mets game got postponed yesterday?
No.
That's one of the seven mysteries of the world.
The Mets?
They were supposed to play in Washington last night, and the game got called off.
In Washington?
No reason, just called off.
Yeah, I'm looking at the day. It doesn't give any reason. No.
No.
Could it have been cold? No. They play in the cold. They play in the cold.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how about the Mets? They signed that guy for almost $400 million, $340 million.
Yeah, it was the first thing they did right in a long time. Now
yeah.
All he has to do is stay healthy for 10 years.
That's it. You look at the numbers. It comes to, I think it's more like $35 million a year, which.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money for a second baseman.
But if it's somebody you can build your team around, and keep your team around, it's not a bad investment, because the Mets are known for some really stupid investments. They're still paying, what's his name?
Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, they're still paying Bobby Bonilla.
My opinion, 10 years is too long of a contract for anybody. Way too long. A lot of things can happen in 10 years.
Well,
and you still have to pay this guy.
You know, and especially baseball, it can take something as freak as a fastball errantly hitting somebody's wrist and shattering it. You're right.
Any sport, 10 years is too much.
It's a long time. It's a long time, there's no doubt about it.
You know, the players dictate everything. You know, and if the owner said no, then they'd say it's collusion, and, you know, they're ganging up against them. So it's a no-win situation. So if the Mets didn't do it, somebody else would have. So I guess the Mets did the right thing in giving them the money.
And in the NFL, they added that 17th game during the regular season. The Giants are going to play Miami. Who cares about that extra one game? Come on. The groping for money in professional sports is absolutely amazing.
I guess they want to make back money they lost. Maybe they should have played 24 games.
Yeah, it's just, but it's so apparent why they're doing it. It's just, you know, you have to spend a fortune to go out to a sporting event if it's professional nowadays.
Oh, God.
A fortune.
Ridiculous.
That the days have taken, and you can see it in the crowds. The number of kids in crowds is down drastically. Families of four and five aren't going.
No.
They're not going.
Can't afford it.
Family of five, you're looking probably at $600, $700 to go to the game.
more than that.
It's
family of five?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to sit up with the lights, it's $100 a piece. So that's $500. And then most places, it's $50 to park.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Ridiculous.
When I used to go watch the Giants in Giants Stadium, parking was $5. $5.
When I used to go watch the Giants at Giants Stadium, everything was free. I knew everybody. I knew the lot guy. I parked right near an exit, and I knew somebody to get me in, got in for free. It was beautiful. I seen any football game I wanted in Giants Stadium for free for about 10 years.
Too bad.
Any
you,
game.
Too bad you weren't a Giant fan.
Well, I was. I went there for obvious reasons.
Yes, yeah.
I was in the end zone when Flipper Anderson scored the touchdown and ran right through the tunnel to the locker room to eliminate the Giants.
You were at that game?
I was there.
I was at that game.
I was at the end zone where he caught the ball and ran out of the tunnel.
So was I. My seats back then, I had two seats that were right in between the goalposts on that end, okay? Front row on the mezzanine level.
Well, if you remember, before they put the wall up at the top, you know, they put the wall?
Yeah.
I used to stand on a rail in the same place.
Okay.
Because if you stood on a rail, you seen everything, and you even had the TVs that were hanging there to watch a replay.
Well, what was funny about it is people used to say, oh, that was a terrible seats. They were great seats because
you seen the whole play. You seen everything go.
You could see everything open up. You could see running lanes opening up, passing lanes opening up.
Yep.
It was now, when they got down to the other end of the field and they were scoring, and it was close.
Yeah, you couldn't get the identification of when they were in or nothing like that.
But you would sit there and you would hope, you would root for the other team's defense so they would move down to your side of the field. It was fun. So I was funny. So you were at that game, and I was at that game.
Yeah, I was at all them games underneath, never got wet. It was best.
Gosh, I almost got thrown out of Giant Stadium that year. I painted a bullseye to put up when they kicked extra points.
Oh, did you? You put it on the screen?
And we hung it over after the first touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And within about 12 seconds, there were security guards all around. They didn't kick me out because it wasn't a disparaging thing, but they took it right away from me.
You know what other game I was at?
What?
The game that stopped beer sales in the Meadowlands when the Jets. I think they played Buffalo. Might have been on a Monday night, and the Jets, they gave out T-shirts or something, and by the second quarter, people in the upper decks were setting them all on fire because the Jets were getting destroyed. Me and my friend were looking like, dude, that's a fire up there. And people were burning the shirts. And the next week, no more beer sales at Jet games.
Oh, well, the good old days of going to
life. That was good stuff.
All right.
Hey, you see Roy Williams retired from North Carolina?
Yeah. Gosh, he's been there for three. I think he won three national titles in 16 or 17 years. That's pretty.
But he wasn't all at North Carolina. He coached in Kansas and a couple other places.
They lost in the Final Four. I'll never forget the press conference. They lost in the Final Four. Okay, going for the championship. I think they were the last two teams with Kansas Jayhawks. And a reporter asked him a question. Hey, the coaching job is open up at North Carolina. Are you going to apply for it? And
I'm going to ask that question.
Well, he just ripped that reporter a new one. He did.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, later on that summer, he did sign with them.
He did.
But still, that was not the right time to ask that question. For some reason, that just sticks in my memory. Maybe because the reporter was so stupid to ask the question.
Hey, you're avoiding the elephant in the room.
Which one?
Yankees lost.
No, it's before we got it. Before I started playing that song, I said it's Mike Kazi season, ladies and gentlemen, because no matter what, as a true Yankee hater, he'll come alive.
See, people don't understand that. Like I was talking to these guys yesterday, said, and they start talking about the Mets. I'm like, why are you talking about the Mets? I'm not a Met fan. They don't believe me when I tell them what I do. They don't believe me. I said, all right, well, when I come to practice on Saturday, I'll bring my Yankee hater hat. I'll show you.
No, I said that right before we went to sports. I said, we'll probably be hearing more sports especially if the Yankees have a bad season.
No, more sports because more stuff's going on. Like Cody Bellinger hit a home run and got thrown out because the dum-dum in front of him thought the ball was caught and passed him on a baseline going the opposite way.
That is dumb.
Yeah. And, you know, they're making light of it, like, oh, it was just a mistake. Cody Bellinger, when you round first base, you're supposed to pick up the ball. And if the guy in front of you is running back the wrong way, you should, like, put your hands up and say, stop, go the other way. You know, you shouldn't let him pass you back coming the other way.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are saying, oh, it was just an unfortunate thing. No, it wasn't. It was a lack of fundamentals by Cody Bellinger. You didn't pick up the ball when you round first base to see where you're going and tell the guy in front of you, hey, dum-dum, turn around, it's out of the park.
All right. Well, I want to get to horse racing, but before we get to horse racing for the weekend, the Islanders pounded the Capitals last
night. Yeah, what a spanking. That's what I watched last night.
8-4.
And that was a battle for first place.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. They pounded them. And the Islanders had lost their last game they played. And I said to myself, they're going to come out and smoke it in this game.
Making a statement there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, big time statement. So I
wanted, 8 goals. Good. Islanders are good. Yeah. Islanders are for real.
I wanted to get that in there. All right, now we can go to some racing this weekend.
Yeah, Keeneland opens today. So we're going to Keeneland tomorrow. The eighth race is the Shakertown Grade 2, going 5.5 furlongs. The two horse, Imprimis, will be probably the favorite, deserves to be the favorite. Raced at Keeneland at this distance 3 times with a win and a third. Down on the inside, like I said, he should be the favorite. This race is run without Lasix. Imprimis won at Gulfstream January 1st without Lasix, so that's not a concern. But my top pick's going to be way on the outside, the 11-horse High Crime. This horse has early speed. There is other early speed in here, but most of the other early speed have been running with Lasix. High Crime did not run with Lasix. Ran in the Grade 3 Gulfstream Park Sprint Handicap. Ran second by a neck. So expect this horse to get out front, extend, and try to hold off Imprimis, which I think he can on that a little bit of a yielding course. And High Crime's latest race came over a good surface, so that's not going to affect him at all. So we're going to go with the 11 High Crime on top with the 2 Imprimis for second. After that's the 9th race. It's the Grade 1 Ashland, a mile and a 16th for 3-year-old fillies. My horse in here, although the favorite will be Todd Pletcher's 5-horse, Malfat, I'm avoiding her, and I'm going to go to the 3, Simply Ravishing. This horse ran last year at Keeneland twice. Won the Grade 1 Alcibiades by 6, came back in the Juvenile Fillies, got a bad start and wound up running 4th. Coming off the layoff from McPeak, McPeak's been heating up lately, and I think Simply Ravishing is going to take care of business in the Ashland. So we're just going to go with the 3-horse in the ninth race, the Ashland. The 10th race is the Grade 1 Madison, going 7 furlongs. You might recognize these horses. I picked them both last year at Breeders' Cup Day, and I'm picking them both again tomorrow. The 4-horse Bell's the 1 is going to be my top pick for Neil Pessin. Hasn't run since the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Has won off a layoff. Has 2 wins and 5 starts at Keeneland with 2/3. So this horse has an affinity for the course. Coming off some real nice works down at Fairgrounds. So this horse is tight for the race. And the horse that goes with her is the 6-horse Sconson. Another horse raced at Keeneland last year in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And ran 4th in that race. So 4-6-6-4 in the Madison. And the big race of the day is the Bluegrass. They lowered this to a Grade 2, which I don't understand how the Bluegrass can be a Grade 2 and the Haskell's a Grade 1. That's just mind-boggling to me. But the Bluegrass lines up tomorrow with 9. Post time's at 6:35. The 4-horse Essential Quality, who's the early favorite for the Kentucky Derby, is a 3-5 favorite in this race for Brad Cox. All roads go through Essential Quality, but I'm going to try to beat him. 2 horses I'm looking at to use in exactas and probably pick one of them to win is the one. One is the 1-horse Hidden Stash by Vicky Oliver. This horse ran 2nd at the Tampa Bay Derby, is 1-for-1 at Keeneland going 2 turns. He broke his maiden by 3 back in October. So this horse has a win over the course. And take a shot, 20-1. The other horse is the 5-horse Rumbauer. This horse is another horse, ran decent at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Won the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate on the Poly Track. working out pretty good at Santa Anita for Mike McCarthy, gets Giroux in this race, give him a shot. You never know what could happen. These are three-year-olds. Essential Quality only has one race this year. I mean, the horse is tight, but, you know, anything could happen with these three-year-olds. Somebody can improve overnight. So we're going to go with Essential Quality, and we're going to use the one Hidden Stash and Rumbauer to make a few exactas here. So some nice races today and tomorrow at Keeneland. I'm happy it's open.
All right. I want you to have a good weekend, Mike, and we'll check with you Monday, see if the Yankees win any games in between now and then.
Oh, I'm sure they'll win.
All right. Have a great weekend, Mike.
Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. Mike Cosby with the Check on Sports here on Robin Hood Radio.